Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the Battleground America Insane Things podcast. We do this on Fridays where we wrap up the week that was. So let's dive right in. Insane Thing number 6.
This mission demonstrates the unmatched reach, coordination, and capability of the United States military. In just a matter of weeks, this went from strategic planning to global execution. This operation underscores the unmatched capabilities and global reach of the United States military. No other military in the world could have done this.
Yep, Operation Midnight Hammer definitely demonstrated that. It demonstrated something else, too, as J.D. Vance pointed out.
The Iranians are clearly not very good at war. Perhaps they should follow President Trump's lead and give peace a chance.
But would they? No. The Iranian parliament's already voted to accelerate their nuclear program. And while less than a week ago, Donald Trump was hinting at regime change in Iran that would basically involve the death of the theocrats and the Ayatollah, he completely flipped sides, total 180, then said he didn't want regime change and then called off the dogs, i.e. Israel, even bragging that he had him turn the planes around. And now they've got a ceasefire. That lasted till all of Friday, until this headline in the Times of Israel. Israel sought to assassinate Khomeini during the war, but the opportunity didn't present itself. It quotes the Israeli defense minister, Israel Katz, saying, if we had him in our sights, we'd have taken him out. We wanted to eliminate Khomeini, but there was no operational opportunity. When asked whether Israel had sought American approval for killing the Ayatollah, he said, we don't need permission for these things. So, just as I predicted it on an earlier podcast this week, 12-day war, they're calling it. It's not going to be a 12-day war. It ain't over. And I told you, Trump is distancing himself from Israel, so they can kill the Ayatollah. They're going to have to take out the theocracy, too. But with the Ayatollah himself and the leadership of Iran bragging about the terror cells that they have active in the U.S. and the terror attacks that are coming, I don't think any of these people has a choice. Let Israel do it, though. We don't need to. They'll take care of it. But let's just take a moment before we move on to marvel at this accomplishment of Donald Trump's. For 45 years, no president had the gonads to take out Iran's nuclear program. They just didn't. Listen to the contrast here.
We work to counter Iran's efforts to develop nuclear weapons and missile technology.
Iran should not have a nuclear weapon. Period.
I have stated that Iran will never be allowed to obtain a nuclear weapon.
We will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
What a contrast with this.
Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
And this. And all those years of blather by all those presidents about the status of their Iran nuclear negotiations.
We may sign an agreement. I don't know. To me, I don't think it's that necessary. I mean, they had a war, they fought. Now they're going back to their world. I don't care if I have an agreement or not. The only thing we'd be asking for is what we were asking for before about we want no nuclear, but we destroyed the nuclear.
Look, folks, Trump knows if the Mossad gets their way, they're not going to live long enough to negotiate with. There's no point in it. And the Mossad already let the world know this week that it had called the wives of the second tier of military leaders of Iran, the first tier is dead, or had left handwritten notes at their homes or called the men personally, giving them a choice. You either record a video denouncing the Ayatollah or we kill you. The Mossad doesn't put stuff like that out in a practical press release unless they mean it. Insane thing number five. We should have known something was up when the Democrats and the Ayatollah of Iran and CNN and the New York Times all began speaking off the same set of talking points. Trump hadn't really done much of anything to the Iranian nuclear program. A program, by the way, that the mainstream media insisted less than a week before Iran probably didn't really have. Trump had just gone nuts. He had gotten bad intel. Worse, he was ignoring his own intel that Iran really didn't have a program. Yeah, fast forward less than a week, and these lying scumbags were insisting they had intel that showed that Trump hadn't done much to Iran. There were still centrifuges that could operate. He'd only set him back a few months. A couple of major problems with that, it turns out. This classified intel CNN got its hands on, they forgot to mention. Yeah, it was marked low confidence. A massive omission by CNN and the New York Times, who ran with this as if it was a bombshell, proving that Donald Trump had lied. Well, it turns out they were lying. Anybody surprised? Here's the truth. The Iranians regularly talk to each other on phone lines they know are tapped by the U.S. And so what they do is they say things that aren't true. We figured this out years ago, but we still record the intel anyway. It all goes into a folder just to note it. Hey, they're saying that the program's still great. It's going to be fine. We can keep running it, but we know that's fake. In other words, you note that you've collected the intelligence and then you give it a very low confidence rating. Like, how bad are we talking? Adam Credo, the defense reporter for the Washington Free Beacon, interviewed several security experts who are inside the intel community. Several, quote, former U.S. intelligence officers, one of whom described the document as so unreliable, quote, you can wipe your ass with it, unquote. In the deceitful and deceptive way that CNN and New York Times reported this, they made this sound like this was the whole body of the intel. It wasn't. There was a whole lot more that the public got filled in on as the week unfolded, from the CIA and other intel agencies saying we had set the program back at least years. But none of that is the insane thing here. No, the insane thing is who illegally leaked it. Remember, this is classified data. It was the Democrats. Here's Trump spokesperson Caroline Leavitt.
President Trump is calling out the left after intelligence about the U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear sites was leaked to the press. The president posting, quote, the Democrats are the ones who leaked the information on the perfect flight to the nuclear sites in Iran. They should be prosecuted. The FBI is now investigating the leak, and the White House is now tightening its circle, saying they will limit access to classified information to Congress.
So wrap your head around this, folks, okay? As the Democrats are talking about impeaching Trump, in part for not informing them before hitting Iran, not giving them classified briefings, which you know damn well, those Democrats would have beat it out of that meeting as fast as they could go. Tehran would have known within half an hour the bombers were coming. It probably would have gotten some of our service members killed, or they would have tried to kill them. That's why you have to keep this stuff from Democrats. They are domestic enemy number one. I've been arguing for years, indistinguishable from Iran. They're merging with Iran and our other enemies. And this proved it, y'all. This proved you cannot give the Democrats classified information. They will turn it against their own government to benefit themselves and Iran. But then I repeat myself. I'm thinking they're the same enemy these days. Anyway, literally, as they're whining and complaining that he needs to be impeached for not sharing classified data with them, they're illegally leaking classified data to CNN, who then leaves out the most important parts, i.e. lies by omission. It's incredible. But you know what's even better, folks? If this was 4 years ago, if this was 5 years ago, for months, we'd be talking about Trump's failure in Iran and his failure to stop the program. The lie would have lived on and on and on. Why? because Jack Dorsey owned Twitter. And then the FBI would have censored anybody saying the truth. We now know that's how it worked. That's the vacuum that allows them to lie. They can't lie anymore, folks. This hoax, that hoax, the Iran hoax, that we didn't take out the program, the nuclear program, that would have lived on for months and months and months. Folks, it didn't even last a week. That's the power of X, which, by the way, brings me back to another insane thing this week. For the first time in American history, the majority of adults in this country get their news from social media. This is the Democrats trying a hoax, not only failing, but it blew up catastrophically in their face, but also in CNN and the New York Times' face. And it's quite possible here somebody in Congress is going to prison.
This administration wants to ensure that classified intelligence is not ending up in irresponsible hands, and that people who have the privilege of viewing this top secret classified information are being responsible with it. We need to strengthen that process to protect our national security and protect the American public. Leaking top secret classified intelligence is a crime, and people need to be held accountable for that crime.
Don't be surprised if arrests follow. The Trump administration's already arrested Congresswoman LaMonica McIver for assault at that ICE detention center. If they'd get her for that, they're going to get somebody for this if they can. The FBI's already investigating.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number four, the absolute unmitigated gall of the Democrat Party never fails to amaze. Looks like Senator Dick Blumenthal, the appropriately named Dick Blumenthal, drew the short straw. And folks, I predicted they'd do this in the beginning of the week. On Monday, in fact, that the Democrats would blame Donald Trump if the Iranian terror cells already in this country attacked, killed, hurt anybody. And Blumenthal went out to pre-position that. Folks, it makes me wonder what they know. His argument, in not so many words, was that Donald Trump was already responsible for any future Iranian terror attack on our soil because he was using immigration forces to go after other kinds of illegal immigrants, criminals, regular people, meatpacking plants, rather than focusing all of his energy on the national security threats.
The threat to the homeland is greater than ever. I am extremely concerned about the dilution of our investigative and prosecutorial forces against terrorism, violent extremism, and the potential cells that may be in this country.
What Dick didn't mention was exactly how or under whose reign those national security threats got here. Tom Homan knows he's now facing the nightmare of rounding them all up.
So I pulled numbers this morning just from a CBP under Joe Biden. There was 1,272 nationals of Iran released in the country between OFO and the Border Patrol. And you compare that to the Trump administration, zero, right? Zero releases.
1,000 Iranian illegal immigrants caught at the border, in custody, and they just let them go. Biden is the first president to do that, by the way. They're called special interest aliens. It's illegal to release them. Biden did anyway. Plus, while Joe Biden had the Border Patrol acting as the welcome wagon for the Democrats' voter drive, more than 2 million illegals who did not turn themselves in to get the free cell phone, the work papers illegally given by the Biden administration, the free food, the free hotels, and the free health care. The only people who do that are really bad actors. 2 million of them got away. We know that because we have sensors in the ground. It's not an estimate. It's fact. Homan said he is terrified of who is here. And it almost makes me wonder, what does Dick know? Senator Dick Blumenthal? What do they know? Did the Democrats deliberately allow these terror cells in and release them? Before you say, nah, they wouldn't do that, consider this case this week and ask yourself if Iranian terrorists weren't pre-positioned in the country by the Democrats. Because this, folks, this is insane. On Sunday, June 22nd, really just hours after the bombs had gone off, not even a full day, ICE arrested Mehran Mercouri Saheli, 56-year-old Iranian illegal immigrant. Now, while in America, he was convicted of being a felon in possession of a firearm in, where else, Minneapolis, where he was sentenced to 15 months in prison, meaning the Biden administration had him in its custody, federal custody. And yes, they knew who he was. In fact, he's a former member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran with admitted connections to Hezbollah, a nationally designated terror group. But the odds were, if allowed to roam free and eventually amnestied, he'd vote Democrat. So who cares how many people he kills? Let him go. That's the policy of the Biden administration. Well, listen to this. An immigration judge ordered him removed on June 28th. Listen to the date, 2022, under the Biden administration. But what do you think they did with him? They let him go. He's one of 900,000 criminals, convicted criminal illegal immigrants, and terrorists. Again, not convicted for the crime of illegal immigration, but for some other crime. And terrorists allowed to stay in the country despite removal orders. Again, he was convicted on the federal gun charge in federal court, meaning he was in federal custody. As an illegal immigrant, member of the Iranian National Guard, they let him go. At that point, you have to think, folks, they want, for whatever reason, they want a terror attack on our soil. That the Democrats have a history of doing that and are having the foresight now to send Senator Dick out there to pre-position the blame for this on Trump tells me the Democrats know these attacks are coming somehow. It also tells me they're pre-positioning themselves to blame Donald Trump and get Joe Biden off the hook. Well, again, with X, good freaking luck, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number three, alligator Alcatraz in the Everglades of Florida opens on Tuesday. It's got 5,000 beds for illegal immigrants because Florida's got a problem. Donald Trump back in February begged Republican governors to allow him to deputize all the state officers in their states. So this could be anybody from animal control to SLED here in South Carolina to state highway patrol to every sheriff's department and police department in the state. See, the problem we have right now is that police officers, sheriff's deputies, state law enforcement, they have to let illegals go when they encounter them because the Democrats and the ACLU have won so many of these court fights saying that, well, they don't have the jurisdiction. They're not federal agents. They can't pick them up. So they got to let them go. Well, what Trump said is, let me deputize everybody in your state as federal immigration authorities. Then they can just pick them up, put them in a car when they catch an illegal immigrant, bring them on down to ICE. Well, this is working so well in Florida. They've got a problem. ICE, the federal government, doesn't have enough beds for them anymore. Well, Ron DeSantis took care of that. with the 5,000-bed facility, which, again, opens for business on Tuesday, meaning the state of Florida is pretty much self-sufficiently in the deportation business. And they plan to move, he says, at least 5,000 a month. That's through that facility, and they're thinking another 2,000 to 3,000 a month will be moved through ICE. Sadly, pathetically, Ron DeSantis is the only governor in the entire country to fully implement Trump's requests. Imagine what we could do if the rest weren't screwing Trump and us over. And folks, we got 3.5 years. Everything we get out now is one less vote for the Democrats. Sometimes they're going to win again someday. And for they will. They'll win again. And the second they get enough votes, they're going to do amnesty. And whoever's left in the country that day is what your state flips to. So like in my state where we have a useless, no good governor, Henry McMaster, might as well be a Democrat, honestly. He won't do a damn thing with this. Well, on that day, we have so many illegals here in the state of South Carolina. Best case scenario, we flip to purple. We'll probably go blue. Folks, I cannot tell you, this is the most important thing for states to do. I don't care what it costs out of the budget. We've got to get this done so that there are states to flee to as a backup plan to preserve America should amnesty ever pass. Ron DeSantis gets it. Every other GOP governor is taking half measures or none at all. Insane thing number two. Remember when Joe Biden spokesperson John Kirby admitted that Iran was funding the violent Democrat grassroots street marches, the anti-Semitic marches that sometimes turned into riots and other times turned into beatings of Jews? In other words, Iran and the Democrat grassroots had melded, had become one.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it.
Boy, did Iran get their money's worth with Zohran Mamdani. What happened here, folks, and you can really connect the dots, is that Iran sponsored these anti-Semitic marches, which have made anti-Semitism hip, hot, cool in the Democrat Party. They're such sheeple mentally that all you got to do is tell them that we hate Jews now, and they're on board, man. Put the first anti-Semite in front of them, and they'll elect him, which is exactly what just happened in New York. And it didn't help that he's a communist, too. You heard me. Not a socialist, a communist. See, I don't think people understand the full horror yet of what New York City Democrats have done here. To understand that, you've got to go back to December of 2020 in one of his now deleted tweets, in which he retweeted this tweet from the Communist Party of India, celebrating the election of, quote, Comrade Arya Rajendran, age 21, youngest ever mayor elected in the state of Kerala. And she's pictured here in this leading what are called a detachment of the Red Volunteers. She was the leader of the group. These are youth volunteers who dress all in red and patrol the streets violently. Don't think you'll be allowed to speak or gather in a group if you're not one of them. They will beat you. In fact, she's seen here carrying the stick they all carry to beat people with. And it looks well used, in my opinion. Here's what Zohran Mamdani tweeted in this retweet of the Communist Party's announcement. Them, he writes, so what kind of mayor does New York City need right now? Question mark. Me. And of course, it's the tweet of the violent communist youth leader. To understand what a horror show this guy is and what an anti-Semite, get this. He has vowed that New York City, under his rule, will follow international law. He also plans not to follow, or at least doesn't recognize, U.S. law, like the Second Amendment. He tweeted that he wants to ban all guns, which should be interesting, since he wants to, quote, and this is what he tweeted but then deleted, abolish the NYPD, unquote. When asked for an example of how he might follow international law, which does not apply here, I guess now except in the conquered territory of New York City, if he is elected. He said, well, if Benjamin Netanyahu comes here for the annual UN assembly, which is always held in New York, I'll have him arrested and I'll transfer him to the ICC, the International Criminal Court, for trial. They've got a warrant out for his arrest. This is what we're dealing with here. But the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. His mom, Mara Nair, is a pretty famous Hollywood director and a very anti-Semitic one. She tried to get Gal Gadot, an Jewish-Israeli actress, banned from attending the Oscars because she's a Jew and an Israeli. It's so grotesque, so hate-filled, so un-American, it's almost unimaginable. And now it's standard operating procedure for the Democrat Party. A few brave Democrats had the courage to talk about what this really means for the party. Here's longtime Hillary Clinton advisor and pollster, Mark Penn.
We do know that, interestingly, Zohan's strongest supporters were college-educated people making over $100,000, who are now in the column of being anti-Semitic socialists. That's the paradox of what's happened in these elections in the Democratic Party right now.
Barack Obama's budget director and longtime economic advisor to multiple national Democrat campaigns, Peter Orszag, said something similar.
I'm saddened to say that I think the Democratic Party is becoming increasingly anti-Semitic and anti-capitalism, turning towards socialism and turning away from your moral principles through anti-Semitism never works. There is a fundamental concern that I have, and I think many people have, about the direction of the Democratic Party.
What does Zohran himself say? Here he is on MSNBC with Circleback Psaki, and then later in another interview. Folks, this is what's so scary about this. More than likely, this is a bad thing for the Democrat Party. It'll rip the mask off the face of the Democrats, hurt them with the American people, and scare them from voting Democrat. I hope. But folks, should the Democrats ever regain power, if this mentality takes hold, we will be living in an authoritarian regime.
You're a proud Democratic socialist. Do you think that is a platform that would work for other candidates running in other parts of the country?
Absolutely. I think ultimately this is a campaign about inequality.
So when people say Democratic socialist, do you like capitalism?
No, I have many critiques of capitalism. What I'm focused on is making the city affordable for everyone.
Yep, he's a Marxist. Insane thing number one is just how insane federal judges, Democrat judges, that is, have gone. See, the Democrats need Donald Trump to be a dictator. They promised their voters a dictator. They need him to defy the courts. But he's played smart and hasn't. So they've stepped up their game with federal district court judges doing things we've never seen since the founding. That's what makes this so insane. I'll give you an example this week. Donald Trump won a major victory at the Supreme Court. He can now deport illegal immigrants to third party countries. So if you like Venezuela and you won't take half a Tren de Aragua back, then he could just send him to El Salvador, to the Supermax prison, for instance. Supreme Court ruling. You would have thought the Supreme Court was the highest in the land, but no, apparently not. In the final weeks of the Biden administration, they jammed through radical liberal judge Brian Murphy, who just overruled the Supreme Court. Wait, what? That's right. Murphy just ruled in a nationwide injunction that, yeah, the Supreme Court might have said that about third-party countries, but I don't think it applies to Trump, so he can't do it. Why are Democrats doing this? So that when Trump sends these illegals to third-party countries, and he's already talking about shipping St. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland father, back to a third-party country, when Trump does it, the mainstream media then can run with a massive lie that the dictator Trump is defying the courts, he's out of control, he's violent, blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't even the craziest thing judges did this week. No, that happened in federal district court in Maryland. In fact, Donald Trump sued all 15 federal judges in Maryland. Listen to what they did. Issued an automatic injunction to stop all deportations of criminal illegal immigrants. So those who've committed crimes here, as well as the crime of, violating our immigration laws. And what was so crazy about this they issued this order outside the context of any particular case. Normally, to issue an order like that, you got to have a case in front of you. You've got a rule in a case. This is just judges saying, yeah, we don't like Trump doing this, so he's got to stop. Now, it was only for 48 hours, but obviously this is a trial balloon to see if federal judges could just randomly order him to stop deporting their voter. I mean, illegal immigrants. Folks, understand something. There are over 700 district court judges and 94 district courts. So this has become like popcorn. They don't like Trump. Some Trump's doing. Democrats bring a case and the judge automatically puts an injunction on the entire country. Never mind, these judges are just one judge out of, you know, over 700 in one of 94 jurisdictions. Federal law is very clear on this. When Congress created the district courts, which, by the way, they could abolish the entire district court system tomorrow if they wanted to. They only serve at the pleasure of Congress. There's nothing about them in the Constitution, which is what makes this even more outrageous. But the good news, and I love ending the podcast on a good note, is that as I'm recording this, the Supreme Court just ruled that individual federal judges, again, there are over 700 of them, cannot just issue nationwide injunctions, which means Trump can't do something. Now, the court did say that they can issue injunctions for their districts. But again, the country is divided into 94 districts, meaning Trump could still deport people in all of the other 93 districts. So this is going to be a lot harder for the Democrats to stop Trump this way. What's incredible is this is unprecedented in our country. There have been more injunctions issued by federal judges to Trump in, when you look at both of his terms, then the entirety of every other presidency in the United States of America combined. But it's going to stop, or at least it's going to be confined to certain districts. Now, here's the thing. What you're going to see is big sanctuary cities getting these rulings to cover their illegals. And what you're increasingly going to see is those illegals moving over enemy lines into blue state post-American territories to hide behind these judges. But it's still better than nothing. It's a hell of a lot better. Anyway, here's former federal prosecutor Andy McCarthy on Fox News explain the significance of this ruling by the Supreme Court as it broke.
What they're saying is that this practice of nationwide injunctions, which we went almost 200 years of American history without having a single one, involves a court not only making a decision that binds the parties before it, but making a decision for the whole nation under circumstances where the court is the non-political branch that doesn't answer to the people whose lives are affected by these rulings.
This ruling seems like it has the potential to maybe break the chains off his agenda a little bit here.
I think that's right. This decision frees the Trump administration from having to, you know, run at the beck and call of every single district judge in the country, of which there are almost 1,000. And so what's going to happen now is that the Trump administration will have to stop its executive orders only in the courts where those judges decide against them, but still be able to pursue their policies in the rest of the country.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.